Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host, Steve Boghetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Well, greetings, Bark Radio listeners. And, you know, we have a really interesting person with us today, and I'm going to have Terry introduce him because this is, again, about a great best friends program.
Right. We have Mike Harmon, and welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you.
So I got an opportunity to hear you speak at this year's No More Homeless Pets in Vegas, and you know, was between with you and John Garcia talking. It was a great. Holy crap!
Okay, start over.
I had an opportunity to see you and John Garcia speak at this year's No More Homeless Pets conference in Vegas, and it was really a great session. I enjoyed it a lot. And then I found out a little bit about you, that you're a former tech guy and who's working in the dog arena, and that's sort of my story too. So I'm interested in hearing about how you got there, and then I'd like to hear about your community training partners program at Best Friends. So let's start with how you got there.
Well, I first came to Best Friends on a family trip in the early 90s. I was either in eighth grade or ninth grade, and I remember telling my mom, you know, why do I need to go to Best Friends to scoop poop when I could stay home and do it? You know, I was one of those kids that I used to get in trouble because I would, one of my chores was scooping the poop out of the backyard, and wasn't very smart about this, but I would scoop the poop and just throw it over the fence, and it would go in the neighbor's yard, and the neighbor would bag it up and come over and bring it to my mom. So that's when I first went to Best Friends, and I actually had a great trip. Ironically, at that time, I really enjoyed my time in our rabbit area. And then I went to college in L.A., which is where I grew up, and I started volunteering with Best Friends there. And then my mom got hired on with Best Friends, and then unfortunately Hurricane Katrina hit, and I really wanted to go down there, but at that time I was doing IT work. I was doing some computer programming and Unix systems administration, which is what I was going to college for. And at that time they were saying you had to go down to Hurricane Katrina, you either had to have some sort of medical background or military background. So I just assumed that I wouldn't be able to get in. And at that point, well, about 2 months into Best Friends Hurricane Katrina operation, I got a call from one of the founders, and they asked if I can go down there to do some IT work for a couple weeks. I went down there and saw how much help they needed, and I ended up staying for 5 months. And it just kind of morphed into, well, like a lot of people down there, we wore many hats. So I was always doing IT work down there, but everybody was always having to pitch in to help with the animals because there was always animals coming in. We were down there for 9 months and rescued 6,000 animals. So there was always that need for somebody to step in the animal care areas. And I grew up loving dogs. I was an only child, and dogs were my siblings and from my point of view, and so this was a great opportunity for me to do something to follow my passion. And I got lucky down there, and I also met my fiance, or actually my wife now, who works for Best Friends, and we decided to move to Kanab and give it a shot after we closed up our operation, our Hurricane Katrina operations.
Wow.
That is a great, great story. I absolutely love it. Man, you found your calling early on.
I did, and, you know, right before Katrina hit, I had done my job for about 5 years, and I kind of wanted to look to do something else. I felt I could always go back to doing IT work, but it was, you know, as far as being able to pay bills and stuff, it was a struggle to completely walk away. So this was a great opportunity, and I think, you know, for a lot of people, if you're lucky enough to get that opportunity to follow your passion, usually things just fall in place from there. And that's how it worked for me.
Nice.
Well, awesome.
That is just an amazing story. Yeah, I mean, the planets aligned for you. I think that's too cool.
Yep.
So tell us a little bit about the Community Training Partners Program and what that's all about.
Well, the Community Training Partners Program was actually a program that started during Hurricane Katrina. And at that time, we were asking trainers to take some of our more difficult dogs because we really weren't in an environment to work on behavior issues. We were just doing the basics down there, making sure the dogs were stable emotionally and medically. And over the years, that program kind of morphed into a community outreach program. And how we got to that point is we were always we're always reviewing our program, seeing, what is the best bang for the buck, or how are we actually helping the movement get along. And at that point, we did a complete 180 and said, you know what, this program really needs to be an outreach program, bringing resources together in the community. So the Community Training Partners Program is a program that's designed to go into communities, develop trainers and volunteers with the goal of reducing euthanasia and increasing adoptions. And so there's really three areas that we focus on in this program. One is partnering up with shelters, and that can be anything from training shelter staff and volunteers to actually implementing some of the programs that we have here at Best Friends, like shy dog classes, reactive dog classes. And then the other two areas that we focus on in this program is working with rescue groups that are pulling these dogs from the shelters or from the communities. And that usually can entail a couple things, training the rescue group's volunteers to work with those dogs and training those dogs, all for preparing them to be placed into a home and make that home successful. And then the third piece, which is really a piece that I'm really committed to, because one of my desires is to try and tackle this owner surrender problem, especially if there's some sort of commitment level there from the owners. And so this third piece, what it does is it provides low cost to free training for individuals. So especially with this economy, most people can't afford to pay a dog trainer. And so when issues arise, they feel like they get to a point where they need to surrender their animal. And with the overcrowdedness in shelters, usually that means that dog with an issue does not have an option of making it out of that shelter. And so what we try and do is if families are or individuals are committed to working with the trainer to try and address these issues and come up with a training plan, then the Community Training Partners Program steps in with our screened and approved trainers, and we start working with that family with the goal of ultimately giving them the resources they need to keep their pet, which for most of these people, it's a family member. It's just times are tough right now.
Right. It is. There's a lot of folks that could take advantage of this. So if I'm a trainer and I want to become part of this, what's the criteria? What do I need to do?
Well, the first thing is to reach out to me, and the program's set up in two ways as far as bringing trainers into the program. We either ask for them to come to the sanctuary, spend some time with our program managers and our Best Friends trainers here that work with our sanctuary animals. And if that's not logistically possible, then what we do is ask them to go around to one of our pilot projects that we have about 5 to 7 locations across the country and have them spend time with our community training partners already in the program. What I try and do is look at this as a team approach. And so I want trainers that can come into the program that are willing to kind of work in a team environment and work alongside our other community training partners and trainers in the community.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mike, I'm a trainer and I'm interested.
Well, great.
We'll have to talk later.
Definitely, yeah. I'll have to give you some more information and see if maybe we can get you to make a visit somewhere.
Yes, that would be fabulous. I really love the concept because if we can just stop the owner surrender, whatever that takes, and you are right, there are many people who cannot afford a private trainer, and to be able to make that happen and keep those dogs in their homes, I mean, it's an admirable goal, and I hope through your program that you can really make that happen a lot in this country. That's a huge thing. Just never have those dogs walking through that door in the first place.
Yeah, that'll change the numbers significantly.
Yeah.
Well, and one thing I try and look at with the piece of where we're supporting individuals and trying to prevent owner surrenders is that I try to kind of have the mindset I have going forward as far as being able to reimburse trainers' costs is that, for somebody that makes $10, $20 an hour, it's not very realistic in this day and age to ask them to pay $150 an hour to train their dog. It just, the numbers don't add up. And that's where through grants and funding through Best Friends where I can step in. And sometimes people will pay $5 a training session, and I make up my program, the Community Training Partners program, will make up the rest of the trainer's fees. And so I think you have to be creative with that approach. And luckily, with best friends supporting this program and some foundations across the country supporting it, we're able now to go into communities and provide that service.
That's fabulous. Well, I see on your website that I just see some of the pilot programs that you've got going. How long have they been implemented? Are they all – I see a number of them are kind of west. Are there any in the eastern states? Tell us a little bit about the pilot programs.
Well, we have pilot programs in five cities. Well, we started out originally in five cities. So we have Salt Lake, Chicago, Las Vegas, L.A., and then we have our pilot project in New Jersey, which is actually Monmouth County, New Jersey, which is about 45 minutes south of New York City. And so each pilot project has its unique outline and approach, and that is because I'm a firm believer that each community kind of has to have their unique approach, because not all the resources are there in each community. And then also you don't have the same opportunities in each community. So if you look through our outlines, you can see that we partnered up with shelters, and depending on whether that's a municipal or private shelter, or if that shelter already has programs in place, what I try and do is kind of pick up the rear or complete the package. So one of the things that we do from a shelter standpoint is that we can start with the dogs as soon as they come into the shelter, so that we're involved with them all along the process. And in that scenario, we'll follow them into the home and provide, you know, the same free or low-cost training that we do to individuals. But some shelters already have programs in place, so that opportunity isn't there, and we just move on to the next thing that a shelter could need, and that could be staff or volunteer training. So out on the East Coast with our Monmouth County project, that's probably, from a shelter standpoint, our most successful project, because what happens a lot is a shelter will get a new director in, and that kind of gets that shelter out of that old school mentality. Mm-hmm. And where they're looking to implement programs. And so the Monmouth County SPCA approached us, and their new shelter director, or excuse me, executive director, was a big best friend supporter, or is a big best friend supporter. And so she approached me and said, we would love to have any help from best friends. And for me, I mean, that's like the perfect opportunity, because what it means is we don't have to go through kind of all the politics and hurdles to get programs implemented, because they've already done that, because they're reaching out to us. So we were able to go in there with an open mind and really be able to put all of our ideas on the table and start implementing pilot programs. And so what we started there with is staff and volunteer training. And then once the staff and volunteers were trained, then we started implementing programs to work with the dogs while they're in the shelter, preparing them for adoption. And one of our most successful pieces of this program where we're utilizing volunteers in the shelter is that on Tuesdays and Fridays, we do dog socialization classes. And so throughout the week, the volunteers are looking for candidates to kind of partner or pair the dogs up with so they can have a play date. And so we'll videotape this. And what we found is that, you know, sometimes we'll have a group of 8 to 10 pitties, you know, that live by themselves most of the time. And they're in this group. And all of a sudden, people are starting to see these guys as dogs, as individuals, and it's starting to break down that stereotype in their community that pit bulls aren't family dogs. And so it's really increased our adoption numbers. And then so what we do is our community training partners will follow those dogs into the home and provide free training.
Man, nice. I love that.
Nice. I like that.
It's a wonderful follow-through. Right?
Thanks.
Good job, man. That's awesome.
It really is, you know, when you can talk to some of these people individually, it really is amazing, because most of these people, they don't want to give up their animal, you know, even if they just adopt it from the shelter. And until we got involved, you know, these trainers have always lived in their community, but they never realized that they were there. So a lot of it is just pointing people to these resources.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. I'd like to see more along this coast, because I don't know a whole lot of this type of activity taking place, but I occasionally see pieces along the West Coast, and
right.
I think there's a lot of opportunity there. As also looking at the site, it looks like there's a couple of ways that folks can help, too. I see that there's a wish list up here and also the information on becoming a training partner. But give the folks the information so if they're interested and they want to help out, where do they go and how do they do it?
The best way is actually just to email me directly, which is mikeh@bestfriends.org. Or they can also call me at 435-644-2001, extension 4536. That's really the fastest way to kind of get the ball rolling. But I will say email is probably the best way to get hold of me. And from the program standpoint, we're now beyond our pilot phase. So we know what programs that we can do. And so we're looking to expand to other communities. And sometimes it starts off like with our Salt Lake project. It started off with a trainer that just moved there. She didn't have any clients. We really liked her, and we had a sanctuary adoption case in her area where we really needed an experienced trainer. And so we worked with her on that one case, and we realized this is somebody we want to work with. And so what I started doing then is started looking for grants in her community, and then we looked for a shelter to partner with. So our plan is to grow this program. This is a national program. We have some opportunities in Canada that we've been approached with. So I am looking to grow this program. So if people are interested, I really do encourage them to reach out to me.
Awesome stuff, Mike. Really happy to hear about this program. And we will also put the link up to that part of the website for Best Friends where folks can learn more about the program. And just keep on keeping on. This is the kind of thing that we need in this country. And it's just a win-win for dogs and their people. So thanks for doing it.
Well, I appreciate your time, Dee and Terry.
All right, Mike. Well, we will make sure to get all this information up, and hopefully we can drive some folks to help you guys out with this program because I think it's awesome.
Yep.
Great. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.